The Banner Baseball Show. Paul Mancano up here in Baltimore. Danielle Allentuck down there in Sarasota. I would say cold Baltimore, but it's actually the nicest week of the year so far up here in Baltimore. I'd imagine that the climates are actually pretty comparable. What's it like down there in Sarasota today, Danielle?
It is sunny, but very humid. Of course, it's the nicest week in Baltimore when I come back to spring training.
Yeah, exactly. That's always how it works out. You got a couple more weeks there before you come back. Opening day is 15 days away. It is 2 weeks from tomorrow. And yet it feels like all of the spring training battles that we came into February with are still raging on. There's still a lot of competition around this Orioles roster. You put out an article today on the BaltimoreBanner.com where you can subscribe just $1 for 6 months. Giving your opening day roster prediction, first off, how has your opening day roster prediction changed over the course of the last month plus? Because I remember having a conversation back in January where we did a way too early roster prediction. There were some differences there.
I mean, a lot has changed naturally just because of injuries. So, like, the starting pitching group is way different than we thought it was going to be. I mean, who would have thought that Tyler Wells and Cole Irvin would both have guaranteed spots in this rotation? Yeah. But that's where they're at right now because John Means and Connor Bradish won't be ready for opening day. I think where it's changed most is the outfield competition and the infield competition. I had said going into this spring that Jackson Holliday is, you know, he's an incredible talent, but he's going to have to play really, really hard and prove that he's ready to get on his opening day roster. And I think he's doing that. I think he's going to get to the point where it's going to be really hard to deny him a spot here. And I still believe if we don't see him on opening day, we're going to see him really early on in the season. I think in the outfield competition, what's changed for me is Colton Cowser. I did not expect this from him this spring. Obviously, you know, he had 10 games in the majors last year, so it was not a big enough sample size to judge him on. I wrongfully, I think, did judge him on that, but I think he is the best defender out of the other outfield prospects, and he has shown great improvements this spring hitting. So I think that spot is pretty much his right now.
Yeah, I mean, in just 26 games last year, Colton Cowser hit 115. He had negative war, almost negative one war last year. And he came up at a tumultuous time for the Orioles when last summer when they kind of needed a jolt. And he showed some flashes, but he was not nearly as consistent as he has been this spring. Of course, it's against lower competition in spring training. We'll get to Cowser and that outfield competition in a sec, but you touched on Jackson Holliday. I mean, you were, I think, fairly skeptical about his ability to hang with big leaguers at 20 years old this early. No, but I mean, I think it's entirely fair. And yet he has. Go.
I wasn't skeptical of his talent. Jackson Holliday is an incredible talent. I mean, he has the possibility to be one of the best baseball players in Orioles history, I think. But I was skeptical of him being ready this early to be an everyday major league player. Not that he couldn't hang with the major leaguers, but the Orioles, and I still believe this, are not going to bring him up to be a bench player. That's just awful for his development in particular. It's awful for a lot of prospects' development. But particularly Rick Johnson, of how big of a prospect he is, they were only going to put him on the opening day roster if he was ready to play every single day. And I think we're kind of seeing that. We're seeing that he's able to handle this daily grind. He's playing second nearly every day, which is a position he hadn't played a lot. So I think he has turned a lot of heads this camp. I put him on my predictions to make it in my article that came out this morning. I'm still a little tentative that it's going to happen, but I am more certain now than I was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, you just, to come into this camp where Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias are saying Jackson Holliday has a legitimate chance to make the opening day roster, and then 10 games into Grapefruit League action, he's hitting .323 with a .957 OPS. If he had a legitimate chance and he does this, then he simply has to make the opening day roster, you would think, based off just his performance alone. I know that the decision makers aren't just looking at the stats, but he has passed the eye test. He got that hit that double off Zach Wheeler, somebody who just got a massive contract extension from the Phillies. He is doing everything right, both statistically and process-wise, to show that he is ready. But, you know, I think you were fair in that you were not sure if he was ready. And I think I wasn't either. You know, I tentatively had him on my opening day roster a while ago, but I didn't have it set in stone by any stretch, just because how many 20-year-olds can do this? How many 20-year-olds can show up to big league camp after just, what, 20-some games in AAA and show that you're ready for the big leagues? We see guys struggle with this all the time. And that's not to say that if Jackson Holliday doesn't make this opening day roster, that he won't struggle to start the season. You know, we've talked about it before. Adley Rutschman's first 6 weeks in the big leagues didn't go so well. Gunnar Henderson's first month and a half of the 2023 season didn't go so well. It's possible Jackson Holliday has the same kind of struggles, but this spring he is absolutely quieting any of the doubters, any of the haters that had any kind of, concerns about his big league readiness. And it feels, close to a lock that he is on this opening day roster with 2 weeks to go.
And I will say, you mentioned the process part. I mean, a big part of being deemed major league ready is just how do they handle the daily major league life? You know, it's a lot different than it is down in AAA. You have daily media. Your days are longer. There's a lot more attention on you. And he's handled it well. I mean, Jackson Holliday is being talked to every single day in clubhouse. He has national media availability he has to do on the phone. And I was walking to backfields yesterday around 8 a.m. and he's out there by himself working at second base, a position that's new to him. So he's got the process down. He's putting in the work to get familiar at a position that he doesn't know very well. And he's handling everything very smoothly. So I think he's shown that maturity-wise and athletically, he is ready for this moment.
Yeah, it's just an absolutely meteoric rise for this guy. And at every step of the way, anybody who has thought, well, this is going to take some time to adjust, because it does for everybody. Oh. He is just showing that he is a different kind of player, and he is a different prospect who could be a real game changer for this team sooner than anybody. I don't think Mike Elias, when he made that pick in 2022, even imagined that this would be a possibility for a high school draft pick. But here we are. All right. So if Jackson Holliday has an inside track at an opening day roster spot, that means that there are going to be some infielders that are on the outside looking in. And one guy I think in particular that is interesting is Connor Norby, who I thought was a candidate to be traded this offseason simply because I didn't see the room for him. Same case with Joey Ortiz, who ended up being part of that trade to get Corbin Burns. You know, Connor Norby has no inside track to a roster spot anytime soon, barring significant injuries or barring a trade of Ramon Urias or Jorge Mateo or somebody else, one of these other veterans in the infield. Connor Norby's hitting great right now. He's hitting .455, just six spring training games. But Danielle, it's this problem that the Orioles have of they simply do not have room for Connor Norby. And yet he is showing that he is probably progressed past the need for AAA games.
And Connor Norby's problem is that he plays second base, which is the position that they are teaching Jackson Holliday and expecting Jackson to take over this year. So where does that put Connor Norby? It probably puts him back in AAA. And they're giving him, you know, a little bit time in the corner outfield, which he played last year a little bit as well, but it's not his go-to position. We were talking to Brandon Hyde about it yesterday, and he was saying Connor Norby is going to be the type of guy who is going to just be lighting it up in AAA with his bat, that he's going to give them no option but to put him in the majors. And they'll just have to find a spot for him, whether it's at second, maybe Jackson gets a day off, maybe it's a designated hitter, maybe an injury happens, and that's when Connor Norby gets his chance. But he doesn't have a direct path, and he is playing so well, but there's just not space for him on this team right now. There's not an inside track for him anywhere to make this roster unless something else happens along the way.
Yeah, same with Coby Mayo, who has also turned a bunch of heads, also a right-handed hitter, also has a ton of power, and has put up great stats at the AAA level. He's 22 years old, so he's a little bit younger because he was a high school draft pick back in 2020. We know the power is great. We know the bat is great. But what he has done defensively, I think Kyle Goon wrote about it the other day on the BaltimoreBanner.com, as well as Andy Koska. All of these great reporters that are down there in Sarasota for the Baltimore Banner. It's hard to keep track. Andy wrote about the other day about, how he has made strides, how Coby Mayo has made strides defensively. He's always had that rocket arm over from third base, but it's the little stuff. It's taking those ground balls over at third base that has been able to improve his game, but another guy that you just don't have room for right now. And I know that, right. You know, Mike Elias, we said it last week when I was on with Andy, Mike Elias likes to squeeze every little bit of value out of his players. He doesn't like to just give up talent for free. And if you say, you know what, we have to make room for Kobe Mayo on this opening day roster, or we have to make room for Connor Norby at some point, let's just DFA Jorge Mateo or Ramon Arias. That's not Mike Elias's MO. His MO is going to be, let's get as much value as we can for these veterans, these positive WAR players, if we have to get rid of them. So that's going to have to be via trade. But at this point, I mean, you know, maybe there Elias likes to make trades during spring training, but something would have to materialize over the next couple weeks for Mike Elias to pull the trigger and make a move that could open a roster spot for somebody like Kobe Mayo.
And I mean, I hate to say it because I know fans love these prospects, but I think for a lot of these top guys right now, they have so many players who are major league ready. And I don't think their major league time is going to come with the Orioles. There's just simply no space for them anymore. So I think it's going to have to come from a trade. And I agree with you. I see it much more likely where they trade a Kobe Mayo or a Connor Norby instead of, you know, DFAing a Mateo or a Ramon. I just think that that's a path that the Orioles are more likely to take, especially given the starting pitching injuries that they need. I mean, they still could use another starting pitcher or two, or even more bullpen help. So I mean, Kobe Mayo has looked great this spring. He's also made all those defensive improvements at third. He was one of the guys out there yesterday with Jackson Holliday taking grounders before anybody else was even changed. So he's definitely putting in the work, but I don't see a pass for him either on his opening day roster right now.
The only thing that I could see is a trade of a minor trade with involving Urias, probably not Mateo, just because I know they love his speed coming off the bench and he's a weapon there. And he's learning center field a whole lot better than he did, you know, than he knew it in previous years. Mm-hmm. So maybe a trade like Ramon Arias for a reliever or something of that ilk that would open up a spot. But I don't think Elias feels like he has a hole in his pocket and he needs to, you know, get rid of one of these guys just to make room for Kobe Mayo. He can just sit back and wait for a trade and wait for good value to come back in the form of a trade for Ramon Arias or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think they're certainly very high on Kobe Mayo because of that power and because of that developing defense. Connor Norby, I think, is just a little bit tougher to see on this in this team's future, just because I know he can play a corner outfield, but second base with Jackson Holliday already locking down second base in the near term, it's got to stink for him because Connor Norby was drafted before Jackson Holliday, and yet he has seen Jackson Holliday jump past him and leap over him. But that's just the state of the organization right now. Is Jackson Holliday is a unique type prospect, but it's hard to see Connor Norby having a spot on this team in the future just because of his lack of positional versatility, I think you could say.
Yeah, it feels a lot like Joey Ortiz last year. Like Joey Ortiz was major league ready, but just couldn't get playing time because there wasn't space for him.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about another spot, the outfield, where there is not a lot of playing time for a whole lot of prospects. You obviously have Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, Austin Hayes locked into that outfield, of course. The question is going to be, do the Orioles try to go with four outfielders or five? And the question is going to be, who is going to make that? Because Ryan McKenna, say what you want about that gaffe on opening day last year at Fenway Park. He has been a valuable, positive WAR player for this team in at least in 2023. He just turned 27, so he's still fairly young. He can play all three defensive outfield positions. He's a righty bat that can complement the lefty Cedric Mullins in center. And this is another guy that Mike Elias has got to be wringing his hands over saying, do we have to give away this guy for free and place him on waivers? Because we've got guys like Kyle Stowers and Colton Cowser and even Heston Kerstad that are banging down that door for the Orioles outfield.
I think with McKenna, and this does not mean anything, but this is my fifth baseball season. I've seen a lot. McKenna was playing in the ninth inning yesterday, which, and he's done that a few times so far, which to me kind of shows you what the Orioles think of him at this point, that he is a guy who is just sort of in camp still, but isn't really high on their priority list, because if he was, he would have been playing much earlier in that game, especially a game like yesterday's where I mean, I think each starter had like four at bats by like the fourth inning or something, and we're done for the day by then. So there was multiple opportunities to get him in earlier, and he just hasn't been getting that starting time, which is usually given to the guys who are going to make the opening day roster, which, you know, that doesn't mean anything. It could just be, you know, looking too much into a situation. We don't know the outside circumstances, but I think McKenna is kind of on his way out at this point. But then you look at a guy like Colton Kowalter and Heston Kjerstad, I think Kowalter has the edge there. And I think that they only need to have one additional true outfielder on this team to start the season. Because if Mateo is learning center field, he can be your super utility guy. You don't need another, you know, outfielder to fill in. I think Heston Kjerstad will be in the majors at some point this year. I think he is in a little bit of a funk right now. And I still don't think his defense has made enough strides where they think that he can be a daily corner outfielder for them yet. So I think Heston needs a little bit more time developing his defense. I think Colton has the edge there, but Kyle Stowers has looked great this camp as well. And I think he's kind of been leapfrogged by Kowalter. So I'm intrigued to see what they do with him. I don't know. I don't see him making his team either off the bat though. Maybe if they go to five outfielders, he has a better chance, but if it's just four, it just looks like it's going to be Colton Kowalter.
Yeah, Kyle Stowers, just a victim of unfortunate circumstances, suffers the injuries last year. You know, the Orioles end up signing Aaron Hicks back in May, so they have that veteran in the outfield. Kyle Stowers gets hit in the face with a pitch down in AAA. Takes a while to come back from that, of course. And a guy who we saw show some flashes at the end of the 2022 season and even make the opening day roster in 2023 got leapfrogged by a lot of guys. Colton Kowalter was on this team midseason. Heston Kjerstad finished the season on the team. Stowers is, you know, the next guy in line. He's the oldest of this group. He's 26 years old. He's hitting .269 with three homers and a .911 OPS in 12 AAA, or it's 12 Grapefruit League games, I should say. He's been phenomenal. Can't play center field, but could play a very good corner outfield, probably slightly better defensively than Heston Kjerstad, who's hitting just .258 with a .593 OPS. Like you said, Danielle, he's in a little bit of a funk. But Kyle Stowers, it's just another guy that you would just feel so bad about on a personal level, having to send him back to Norfolk and having to say, you got to wait your turn because Colton Kowalter has leapfrogged you at this point. But Colton Kowalter is hard to deny. .478 batting average with a 1.586 OPS in 10 games, which is, I know, 10 games, but ridiculous numbers that Colton Kowalter has been putting up. And he can play center field, which Kyle Stowers can't do. So I agree with you. I think it probably at this point has to be Colton Kowalter with the edge. But it's just going to be so difficult to send Kyle Stowers back down to AAA Norfolk, given what he has shown you down in Sarasota this spring.
And there is another option here. I mean, we're talking about trading prospects. I mean, they could trade one of these veteran outfielders, and that would open up a spot. I mean, Centenaire is going to be a free agent after this year, and Mullins and Hayes after the 2025 season. So those would be two spots, too, where they could create some room if they really wanted to. I have not heard any talk along that. I don't want to start any rumors there, but those are some very clear options, too, if they want to give these prospects some playing time and even cut some payroll.
Yeah, I can't wait for MLB trade rumors to pick this up and say Daniel Alatek thinks that a trade could be coming. But I mean, anything is on the table with Mike Elias.
Right.
But yeah, you do wonder if he's ready to, you know, pull the trigger on a move like that, that would, you know, take away Hayes and Mullins, both clubhouse leaders. Santander, you could say the same. And Santander has probably the best pure power on this team right now. You know, Heston Kjerstad may have a great potential with a powerful bat, but he at this point probably needs to show it a little bit more. So you would have to be so certain that Colton Kowalter or Kyle Stowers is ready to take on that role and then hope that injuries don't happen, or hope that if they do, you know, Heston Kjerstad is ready to go. It could happen, but I think that the Orioles are probably, like you said, gonna try to wait that out and see if they can get the best value before turning to the phones and saying, let's make room for Colton Kowalter, Heston Kjerstad, Kyle Stowers.
Right. I agree. And then there is always the midseason, you know, if they feel a need arises, if, you know, Means or Bradish don't come back on time and they need another starting pitcher, you always have the option to make a move then too.
Right. Let's talk about your the rest of your roster predictions, your opening day roster predictions on the BaltimoreBanner.com. You know, we've talked about how the rotation is probably set at this point, at least until John Means and Kyle Bradish are ready to come back, with Tyler Wells, Cole Irvin filling those spots. But how about the bullpen? How do you see this bullpen competition shaping out, shaping up? And do you think that it's pretty much set in stone with 2 weeks to go?
I do not think it is set in stone by any means. I think there are a couple names that we can pretty much assume are going to be there. I mean, Craig Kimbrell, you don't sign him for $13 million and not put him on your opening day roster as your closer. Cano is solid in his spot. And they are being really careful with him this spring because he was really fatigued by the end of last year. So they're really being careful to pace him. And that's why you haven't seen him in a lot of spring training games so far. There's nothing wrong with him. They're just, you know, giving him less innings this spring so that he can be fresher at the end of the year. I think Danny Coulomb, I mean, last year he's a clubhouse leader. His spot is set. And I would even go as far as say Dylan Tate's spot is set. He's fully healthy. He looks just like he did before the injury. They're confident where he's at. I think he's got his spot. Beyond that, I mean, you can probably assume Perez is going to be on a team, that Jacob Webb is going to be there. And then that kind of leaves, you know, two spots up in the air there. I think Michael Bauman has looked really good this spring. I think Keegan Aiken maybe has his spot, but that one's a little more up in the air. But there's kind of a lot of names in competition for those last two spots, and there's not a lot of guys of options that's going to make it easy for them to shuttle guys back and forth this year. So I think the bullpen is going to be one of the last areas that's set this spring.
Yeah, I feel like that is the case every year because what you see at the start of the year in the bullpen is not what you're going to see all season long. Yeah. And it could not even be what you're going to see a week into the regular season. Aiken is a guy that I think that's going to be interesting to watch here because four games in Grapefruit League action so far, five innings, and he has yet to allow an earned run. Obviously a lefty, so he brings that kind of value. We've seen him make spot starts. He obviously came up as a starter at the very beginning of his career before kind of being transitioning to the bullpen. Had a really disastrous year last year, but it wasn't that long ago, 2022, that he was a valuable lefty out of that bullpen. So him being, you know, a valuable piece there. And of course, Jacob Webb, somebody that the Orioles picked up in the middle of last season, they liked him for a reason. There's a reason that he made the postseason roster as well. So another guy that I think could have a whole lot of value for them. But there are some guys, if they go with this projected eight that you have on the BaltimoreBanner.com, that would leave guys like Brian Baker, Nick Vespi, Matt Crook, who they acquired earlier this spring, Caleb Ort. All those guys would be on the outside looking in. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't be in this bullpen at some point over the course of the regular season.
Yeah. I think Julio Teheran is a guy to watch too. They're building him up as a starter, but doesn't mean they can't stick him in the bullpen and have him be their long reliever or even have him, you know, be the guy if they need a spot starter. So he is a name to watch too. I mean, they signed him to that contract for a reason late in spring training. So he hasn't looked quite as impressive as the other guys, but he is a few weeks behind just because of when he arrived to camp in early March. But he is a name to watch too. He's a veteran. He knows how to prepare himself. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets on this roster as well.
Yeah, Julio Teheran, talking to Andy Koska, said he just wants to make the team. He just wants to be a big leaguer, and he doesn't care if that's in a bullpen role, as a starter. But like you said, he is being built up as a starter. The three games that he's appeared in so far this spring, two of those have been starts, just 5 1/3 innings so far, and has allowed four runs in those 5 1/3 innings. So could a veteran kind of sneak his way into the bullpen or maybe eventually into this rotation should arms go down? Danielle, a lot still to be figured out for this crew. 2 weeks until opening day, and Michael Elias and Brandon Hyde certainly have their hands full. You are back in Sarasota for the duration of spring training. I hope you got some time off, and I hope you're ready for a run that simply won't stop until maybe the end of October, because it is full go, full throttle from here on out.
Yes, it is.
Danielle's great work can be found at D_AllenTuck on Twitter. I am at Paul Mancano. Thanks so much for tuning in. And of course, subscribe to the Baltimore Banner, $1 for 6 months. We are available on any of your favorite podcast platforms, by the way, now, the Banner Baseball Show. Please give us 5 stars, a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube, a review. If you write us a good review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out here on the Banner Baseball Show. Thanks so much, Danielle. I hope you're ready for the stretch run, and we'll talk soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. For Danielle Allentuck, I'm Paul Mancano. See you next time.